220 at the bottom. 220 at the bottom. 220 at the bottom. I'm sorry. They didn't have their music for that. I'll put them on the spot here. 220 at the bottom. He is here. Page You know, there's not a better friend that we could have than Jesus. You know, I love every one of y'all. And y'all are dear friends to me, but you know, I got a much better friend.
Sure you do. Amen.
And I just love that song. Thank y'all for saying that. Just singing that song, that would just mean a lot to me. Look to page 526, the song drunk. Singing in the garden.
Damn.
6:35.
Been a long time.
This song has a special meaning to you because I sang it at my grandmother's funeral. And I used to follow my granddaddy around all the time in his garden. So this song is just so special to me because I think of my grandparents and following him around in his little turnip green garden and, you know, everything. He's such a godly man. He's the reason I have to say I believe in Jesus, because he certainly lived it. I'm going to sing the first two, but on the third chorus, would y'all just join with me and let's just enter into the presence of the Lord this morning. It's such a beautiful thing. I can just feel his presence here. I just feel strength spiritually. I thank y'all for just loving me through a hard time. But I just want to give thanks to my Lord right now for healing. His healing.
Still on the road.
Has he walked with you? Amen.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Help her, Lord.
I just want to tell the church how much I appreciate all your prayers, and I never could have made anything this far without the good Lord helping me and you guys praying. I want to thank Lane, who's not here, for feeding me. And cold day, there's nothing better than homemade chicken noodles. So, thank you guys so much. I love all of you.
Amen. Amen. And we're so glad you're there. Amen. We've been missing you. Anybody else? Don't quench the spirit if the Lord's unctioning you to testify. Well, I'm thrilled to be here this morning, and I'm thankful for what God has allowed us to feel throughout the Sunday school, the singing, the everything that's been done. I'm so thankful to Him for that today, and can't put a price on it. I've said that many times before that you just can't think of anything or come up with anything that in this world that could even put a down payment on what God's done for us. But He did that Himself alone, Jesus Christ, in giving His life for us. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to the Acts of the Apostles in the second chapter, I really need your prayers this morning. I have looked and sought God and am not as settled as I'd like to be, but we're going to step out on faith and try to read a few verses of Scripture and then do that God would have us to do. I want to encourage you that if you're here and you're lost without the Lord today, and only you know that, if you're lost, if you've never been saved, and you've got an uneasiness down in your heart and soul, I want to encourage you that there's no excuses to leave that way. There's no reason that anybody should deny the calling of the Holy Spirit and believe to the saving of your soul. He made this in a way that all could have it, and that there's none excluded from it, but except those that exclude themselves today. So I want to encourage you today. But I want to talk to us just for a few minutes this morning about a change that's made in our life, a noticeable change that's made in Christians' lives. And I know that sometimes we see folks that say that the Lord saved them, and we really can't see with that change that we'd like to see in their life, and that don't cause us to get in the place of judges as to judge whether they got it or not. But the Bible teaches us that we'll know a tree by the fruit that it bears. And I'm so thankful today that there is a change made in a person's life. And I realize not everybody is maybe as open about it as others, but there is a change that's made in people's lives when they come to know Jesus and the free pardon of sin. And there should be a change. There should be a change in people's lives. Actually, you've gone from a life of headed for death and destruction eternally to a life of everlasting. And not only everlasting life, but the blessings that come along with walking with Jesus throughout the remainder of the time that we have on this earth. So I just believe there's a difference made, and I know that sometimes it takes a while before you can see it in some people's lives, but I believe today that if you've truly been born again, that there will be some fruits in our lives that'll show. And I'm saying this from experience because there was some times in my life and a lot longer period of time than I like to admit that I was not exhibiting the fruits of what God had done for me. And that was my fault. That was because that I chose to walk at a distance from Him, and therefore a lot of folks may not have recognized that I was a Christian. But Brother Michael, I won't spend the rest of my life trying to, I can't do anything about what I've done in the past or what I didn't do, but I can do something about from here on out. And I want to leave this life praising Him and lifting Him up, and leaving no doubt in folks' mind that I love the Lord today and that He loves me. But in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, this talks about the day of Pentecost, and we know that the Holy Spirit fell upon these folks, and this was not something that was not prophesied. The Bible teaches us, I think over in Joel and some of the other prophets, it was prophesied that there would be a pouring out of the Holy Spirit. So this is that time that it's talking about. And the Bible said that there was Jews from every nation that were present here in this place at Jerusalem at this time, when the Holy Spirit fell down upon the people there. And the Bible says that they spoke with different tongues, and that every man heard it in their own language. Isn't that amazing that there was so many people gathered together of different tongues and different languages, yet everyone heard it in their own language. Now, there was naysayers in the bunch. There was some that said that these men are on new wine, are drinking new wine, and it was, I think, at the time of the day where Peter told them, it was a time of the day where it wasn't that point where folks had started drinking yet. And so he said, these men are not drunken as you suppose, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're filled with the gospel. I'm sure when the Spirit of God falls down in the church house and folks begin to be obedient to the Spirit, an outsider looking in would think, boy, I want some of that they've got a hold of. And we want them to want that we got a hold of. But they might think, just as some of these naysayers did here, that they're on some kind of drug or they've drank too much and it's causing them to do this. But Peter here lets them know that this is the Spirit of the Lord and it's being poured out upon men here. All these things that were types and shadows in the Old Testament, we're seeing here in the second chapter of Acts, we're seeing them come to be in the Spirit. So he says in the second chapter in the 36th verse, this is Peter talking here, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Boy, I'm telling you, Dad, I'm glad that when I got saved, I didn't have to go somewhere or go and ask somebody to give me the gift of the Holy Ghost, but I'm glad that when I got baptized into the Spirit, that was something that came along with it today. And praise the Lord. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. What did he mean by that? Save yourself from this evil generation that you're a part of, that you live in today. Come out from amongst them, I think the Bible teaches us, and be ye a separate people. And I believe that's what the Apostle Peter here was encouraging them to do. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a revival took place here on this day of Pentecost. And there had to be some shouting going on, because there was folks getting saved and there was folks joining the church. I'm still one that believes today that after the Lord saves you, I believe that same Spirit will draw you to unite somewhere with the body of Christ today. I believe that with the church. I believe he'll draw you to that. And I'm not going to condemn anybody, but I know what it's like to live outside of the fellowship of the church, and I know what it's like to live in it. And I won't be in it today. Amen. I need that. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Isn't that something? There wasn't a division amongst them, but they had all things common today. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved. And that's the end of the chapter there. But it sounds to me like these folks got a dose of something, don't it? You don't it sound to you like there was a change made in these people's lives? They asked the question first. They said, what shall we do? The Bible said that the gospel that Peter preached to them pricked them down in the heart today. And I'm glad the gospel can still prick souls today. I've seen folks hanging on to the bench, amen, and gripping that thing and almost like sweat beads running off of them. Somebody said, preacher, reckon what's wrong with them? I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is still pricking hearts today. It's letting folks know that they need something in their life besides what they've got, amen. And there's something missing. And I'm glad today that when that convicting Spirit shows us that we have a need in our life, he doesn't just go off and say, figure it out how far yourself, but he shows us what we need in our life to correct the problem today. And boy, that just thrills me. If I had found myself lost and undone without God and there was no answer to fix that problem, how lost I would be. But I'm glad today how that he showed me how what I needed. They asked the question. They said, how shall we do? And I believe they were asking because they realized and they were admitting they were in bad shape. They had a problem. First thing that somebody has to do when they go to therapy or when they go somewhere for counseling. The first thing they have to do, I believe, Sister Marilyn, is admit that they've got a problem. If we don't admit we can't see that we're sick, then it's hard to do anything with us. But when we realize today that we're lost and undone and come short of the glory of God, boy, the faster folks begin to realize that and understand that, amen, the faster, amen, that we can see God add people to the church, amen. I believe that with all my heart. But I want to go back here to this 38th verse. Peter, I didn't leave them over there hanging about the question that they had. What must we do? Peter said unto them, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I begin to think about this, and it said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. Back over in a few verses back, it began to talk about that whosoever will, that this grace and this mercy is set out for whosoever will. There's nobody alienated from this thing according to race or gender today, but I'm glad it's a whosoever will thing today. And I'm glad today that I've been around folks that know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And they may not talk in the country accent that I've got, but I tell you what, my spirit, I can connect with them because I can feel something that they can feel today. And I'm glad that there's a noticeable difference when you've had an experience with Jesus Christ today, amen. Preacher, will it make me perfect? No, it won't. This on the outside, as Brother Michael taught us in Sunday school, we're in a continual battle with the devil today, and we'll be in that continual battle till we draw this last breath of life. Some will give in to temptations more than others, and they will live to see the repercussions from those things. I appreciate something Sister Marilyn said when she was talking about sexual immortality, being immoral sexually, and how that not only that brings a reproach, but it causes an everlasting stain that will go with us to the grave today. But I'm glad today, amen, when the question was asked, what shall we do? How there was an answer given to the people. Somebody said, preacher, do you really think it made a difference in these Jews' lives? Amen. When they got saved and got baptized. And I want you to understand here, there's a lot of denominations that'll take this verse and they'll say that's the reason you have to be baptized, that if you're not baptized in a watery grave, you have no chance of going to heaven. I'll differ with that today. I believe if you've been born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost today, you've got what it takes to go to glory. But I believe if you want the joy of your salvation and you want to feel the presence of God and you want the fullness out of it, you'll unite with the church today and become part of her today. Amen. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. But let's see if it made a difference in these folks' lives today. Bible says here, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day, boy, I've seen folks get saved, amen, places that I've been a pastor and hear some. And I've seen them come up and they'd get me in private and they'd say, preacher, I want to get baptized. I want to get baptized. And that just thrills me to death because I know that that same spirit that drew them to an altar of repentance is drawing them to become part of the church, to get in there with the church and become part of it today. Amen. And you can see a difference in these men's lives right here. Let me read on a little further. And it said, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. Boy, it sounded like they got involved in the church, don't it? Don't it sound like that? And it said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Amen. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. You see, when you get saved today and you get filled with the Holy Spirit, instead of it becoming all about me, it becomes all about others too. Amen. Amen. Boy, I can tell you, if there was ever a little old kid in this world today that thought it was all about him, it was me. Amen. And I just wanted everything, and I wanted it all for me, and I wanted it right now. I didn't get it all that way, but that's what I wanted. But I'm going to tell you something, Benny Green. After God saved my soul, amen, I have more concern about somebody else over there and the needs that they have in their life, amen. And if God has blessed me with something that I could help them with, by all means, I feel the unction from the Holy Ghost, Brother Royce, to help them out. Amen. Why do you think we drop something in the offering plate at church? Well, preacher, that's to pay the church bills, to keep the heat on, to pay our pastor, pay the utilities. But it goes much further than that, much further than that. The church has its eyes open to this community, and this community has needs. Amen. And I appreciate so much when somebody will come to the church and they'll say, we've got a neighbor, we've got an acquaintance, maybe their house burned, maybe they lost their job, maybe their sickness came into the family. And they'll come and they'll normally get with the deacons and they'll say, reckon the church would see fit maybe to help them out just a little bit. And I've never seen Liberty Hills Church say, no, nah, we ain't going to help them. No, nah, we ain't going to help them. But we'll come and we'll take what God's blessed us with over here at Liberty Hill. And we'll try our best to do something to help those folks get out of a bind. You see these Jews that just accepted the Lord. Now, you're going to read on later on in Acts and on further, where when Peter would tell them, ye crucified the Son of God, you hung him on a tree. And I think Peter was talking about himself too. I'm sure he was. But there was times where that really offended folks, Brother Michael, when he said, this is the man that you hung on the tree. And they would close their ears. They would gnash at themselves. When Stephen was telling them about this, I think the Bible said they began to gnash on him and to close their ears up. But I believe that when Peter preached this to these people, they saw their self guilty before God. They said, we did. This is the man that he's preaching about. And this is the man that we mocked and we spat upon. And we beat. And we sent him up Calvary's hill. And we crucified him. I'm glad today that there's a noticeable difference when somebody gets the goods today. I can't do nothing about folks that say that they've got it, and you cannot see the fruits of it today. We're not here to judge, but I believe there'll be a difference in folks' lives. Have you ever heard people that are sick and they try new medicine, and you'll ask them, you'll say, well, how are you since you've been taking this? And they'll say, sometimes they'll say, I just can't tell no noticeable difference. And sometimes they'll say, I can't tell that I'm any better with what it was supposed to help me with, but I feel a little bit worse. And then they find out there was a side effect that come with that medicine that make you feel a little worse. Have you seen somebody that's had knee surgery? And you hear it both ways. I've seen some, and they said, boy, it was the best thing I ever done. Got my knee replaced, and boy, I can bend it, and I can walk. I'm doing better. I believe you're doing better, Benny, from your surgery with your hip. And then you talk to some, and they'll say, I can't tell no difference. You know, our bodies are different. It's not that the doctor did a bad job. It's just our bodies are different. Sometimes it just don't help. But there's a difference in a person's life when they come to know Jesus. There is a difference. It's not only a difference that will show, that will come out in us at the house of God, but it's a difference that'll come out in us at the workplace. It's a difference that'll come out in us with our family members. But most of all, Brother Chris, it's a difference that when nobody else is around, nobody's around, and I'm laying there in my bed, and I can talk to Jesus, Vanessa, like a man talking to a man. And I say, boy, this is the difference. This is the difference. When I can call on him in the midnight hour and not have to worry about, did I wake him up? Is he busy? But when I go and call on him and ask him for help, amen, he's there. Boy, what a difference. What a difference. I used to not have that. Are you worried today that there's not a difference in your life? Think about that. I'm going to ask you the question. Are you concerned that really nothing's different since the trip you made to the altar, or the confession you made at home, or maybe in the privacy of your own vehicle? Are you concerned that there's not really a difference? Whose fault is that? Jesus is the difference maker. He's the difference maker. He's taken men and women who were going this direction, and he turned them this direction. To take somebody like Saul, who later became Paul, who was on a road to persecute Jesus, to take a man like that and turn him completely around, and he gave the rest of his life to preaching about the one that he scourged. And the difference folks could see in Paul's life, and it made so many of the Jews mad when they saw that, because I believe it brought conviction down upon them. They thought he was just like us. What happened to him? There's a difference. I believe there's a difference, Sister Maggie, that'll make you want to come to church. I do. I do. Preacher, you're meddling. I believe it'll want to make you come. I've had people tell me, preacher, I just don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of drama over there at the house of God. That offends me when folks say that. It does. There's a lot of drama over there. There's a lot of cliques over there. I'm not talking about Liberty Hill. I'm talking about the church. That's what they say about the church. There's a lot of animosity. There's things that happened 100 years ago that I can't get over. And you begin to wonder, was there really any difference made in your life? Was there any really difference made in your life? I'm going to tell you something today. There will be a noticeable difference in a person that knows the Lord and a person that don't. He'll become not only part of your everyday life, but he will become the source of your everyday life. Every decision that you make in life, listen to me, and we're faced with them every day. Some are more minor decisions than others. Brother Mark, I used to just consult him on the major decisions. Minor ones Steve could handle, but he couldn't. I thought I could. But every crossroad that I come to in life, if I will seek his leadership and his guidance, Maggie, then I won't turn that molehill into the mountain that it can become. The biggest privilege, one of the biggest privileges in being saved, knowing that I missed a devil's hell is something to shout about from here to the end of time. That, if that's all it was, Kim, I could shout about it till the end of time. But to know that I was given access to pray in the spur of the moment, in emergencies, in despair, in that dreaded phone call that some of us may get, that I have the privilege to pray and to ask God, God, you know this situation. I can't handle it, but you can. But you can. These men had a noticeable difference in their life. I believe they became active in Christianity. I believe that instead of going to it being all about me, it became all about the needy and those that have needs in their lives. The Philippian jailer asked him over there, he said, what must I do to be saved? He got concerned about himself. Amen. If you're lost and undone, we want you to be concerned about yourself. Amen. Why in the world, when somebody has a terminal disease, why do we seek and try to go to some of the best hospitals we can go to try to get to know that we've done all that we can do in man's hands to get the best help we can get? Why don't we do that spiritually today? That Philippian jailer, once he come up from there, he had the fruits of being born again. I believe the Bible teaches us that he helped to wash the stripes off of the backs of the ones they had beaten there. It takes and makes you want to take a wrong and make it right. That's what it makes you do today. But I want to encourage you today. I want you to, while we're fixing to sing, this is what I want each person to do, if you'll do it. I'm going to do it myself. Back when I got saved, is there a difference, a true difference in my life from what I was then and what I am today? Is there really a difference? Is there really a difference? Am I still in agony? Do I still have guilt upon me? Do I still feel like there's something that's not fixed? Vanessa, when the devil tried to convince me that I had never been saved after I knew that I had, but he can get you at a point sometimes, maybe it ain't happened to y'all, but he can get you at a point sometimes to where you begin to doubt it. And I get serious with God and I say, God, you know my heart. God, I got to know. I got to know somebody over here say, well, you got it. I remember I was there. You got it. But God, I got to know. I got to have that peace to know that I know that I know. He does not want me in doubt or trying to be in doubt about what he done for me. And he'll confirm that thing. Amen. And he'll say, can you not see the difference in your life? He'll say, let me show you where things could be. Let me show you how life could have been. In the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, isn't that a wonderful story? A wonderful story. Jimmy Stewart was shown how it could have been had he not have been how it could have been. Every so often when I get down in the mully grubs, Wayne, I just need to realize how it could have been, how it could have been. And then I raise my little hand towards heaven and I say, thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you have bestowed upon me. God, I couldn't begin to count them. And Lord, if you cut them off today, I'm going to pray that you don't. But if you cut them off today, there's no reason I shouldn't be able to leave here with my hand raised up saying, I've been blessed, I've been blessed, I've been blessed today. He makes a difference. He makes a difference in your life. And a lot of times we see it more in somebody that may have been a real outlaw. And when you see them get saved, you can really see the difference in their life. But maybe you hadn't been an outlaw. Maybe you have done, you've abided by everything. You've been a good son or daughter to your parents, a good husband or wife to your spouse. And you've done all of these things. But nevertheless, you've got an uneasiness inside that you're lost and undone without God. And maybe folks can't see that great big difference, but there'll be a difference. There'll be a difference. There'll be a peace that'll come over you that surpasses all understanding. The things of this world will start to grow vainly dim. And the things from above will become brighter and brighter and brighter. Come get us a song. Amen. I could preach on this a little bit longer, but I feel like this is what the Lord has sent. And I want you to stand up. Amen. If you can. And I want you to evaluate, has there really been a change made in my life? Am I different from what I was before I said that I got saved? Am I really different, or is I'm back to the same old today? We can get backslid. We can get out of fellowship with God. That's easy to do, very easy to do. But I'm going to tell you, you can come back and get things right with Him. We call it rededicating your life to the Lord. Amen. Coming back, saying, Lord, I've drifted away from you. I'm not where I should have been. And God, I want to come back and I want to get things right. I want to be a stronger Christian, God. I want to be a witness to those around me. And Lord, help me to be a help to those that are in need around me today. No doubt there's needs that are out there. The devil will say, well, you've worked for what you've got. Let them go work for what they get. You don't know their situation today. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know exactly what's happened. Amen. Jesus was a lot of times communicating and talking to folks when he walked this earth that it offended the Jews. It offended. Look at him. He's talking to a publican. Publicans were not thought very well of. Look at him. He's over there with those sinners. Look at him. He's begging a tax collector to get down out of a tree. Jesus didn't care what they thought. Praise God. I'm glad when he looked down to me, all the people that needed saving when I was lost and undone, and he looked down there, Wayne, to me, and he said, this young man needs me. Amen. And I did what the Spirit told me to do, and that was just believe with all my heart and all my mind and all of my soul. Amen. And he did it. And he did it. Wished I could tell you that since then, I have glorified God in everything that I've done, but I hadn't. But I'll tell you this, Brother Ricky, I want to, and I'm ashamed of some things that I let go by after I saved. I'm ashamed of some of the things I let go by, but I hope that folks can see a difference in our lives today, a difference that only God can make. Go ahead and sing. Praise the Lord. Is there a difference in your life today, or have you just confessed it to satisfy somebody else? Sometimes people will confess it just to satisfy the preacher. Some will confess it to satisfy their parents or their spouse. But if it hadn't made a difference in your life, then chances are you didn't get it. Because it does make a difference. It does make a difference today. It'll make you change your thoughts, your ways, and everything that you do. Go ahead and sing.